grace and faith were used on us, not by it.
The gospel of grace.
You are the thing that was in the mind of God.
The gospel of peace.
This plan was put together by God and Jesus before the creation of anything else.
That was Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Friday, February 23, 2018. Broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought, visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, where we say that a text without a context is a pretext. But right now from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, with more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel, is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Michael Williams. How are you?
Hello, Donald Bartlett. I am wonderful. How's your day?
It started well, but then you called me.
I know. And you were out on the front porch enjoying Alabama fog or something. I don't know what it was.
I was. Sweet home Alabama. Soon it'll be sweet home Kentucky. Mate, we got a big show today because there's a lot of stuff that has come in this week and
stuff.
You know stuff. Did you ever hear George Carlin talk about stuff?
I think I did. I think that's what just popped through my mind.
Well, I got all this stuff. And if y'all don't know who George Carlin is, and half the world doesn't, they've missed one of the best comedians I've ever heard, and you need to hear Stuff by George Carlin. Go to YouTube and get it. Don't be slow. Michael, I'm not going to ask you how you are this week because,
Well, you already did, and I already answered, so I know how you are. Forgetful.
I haven't even had a drink today, mate.
Yeah, well, there you just did. There you go. See, now you're all right.
Oh, if people only knew the history of this podcast and my history. Well, anyway, I got a fascinating email this week, mate.
You did? What was the email about? Was it something that can be read on air? It wasn't one of your girlfriends, was it?
It came from Amazon. And it said this. This email is to notify you that Mike Williams Ministries, Incorporated, has been issued a $78.02 donation from the Amazon Smile Foundation as a result of Amazon Smile program activity between October 1 and December 31, 2017.
Wow. So just a month?
Well, between October 1 and December, October, November, December?
Oh, November, December,
One quarter.
Yeah, $78. That's incredible.
Mate, and you know, and no one paid it except Amazon.
Yeah.
Didn't come out of anyone's pocket. Now, family, some time back, we started to put up on our webpage how you can do this. What you do is you go to www.gospelrevolution.com, hit the donate link, and under that you'll see the Amazon Smile program and the instructions on how to do this. Now, if you're a registered Amazon user, then Amazon will donate to Mike Williams Ministries 0.5% of everything you buy from them. Now, I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, and consequently, I'm probably Mike Williams' greatest sponsor. I don't know for sure, and nothing else will change for you when you do this. You're not going to pay more for your product. Whatever kind of member you are, Prime or just generally a user of Amazon, just go to smile.amazon.com and have a look at that. And you then will be donating to Mike Williams Ministry without ever sticking your hand in your pocket. You could have the longest pocket and the shortest arms in the whole of creation, and you'll still be donating to Mike Williams Ministry. So that was the first thing we got. The donation was deposited to your organization's bank account on or before February 15. It may take several days. Heck, it's already taken several months. Take a couple more days. We don't mind, Amazon. Jeff Bezos, you're getting rich, but at least you're giving some of it to us. Thank you very much.
Yes, and you know, I have this same choice, and most of the time when I go on, I just type in Amazon A. If I get A in, it's going to pop up Amazon. That's how often I use Amazon. And most of the times, though, it will ask me, you have to be careful, though, because not every time does it refer you to Smile. Now, if you've got it, if your computer is used to Amazon Smile, then it'll come Amazon Smile. But I've used Amazon so many years that when I just put in A, Amazon.com comes up, not Amazon Smile.
Well, on my computer, what happens is I read reviews on products. I just bought myself a new TV, cost me $200 for a 50-inch TV. Don't ask me how I got it that cheap, but I'm using it as a monitor because my eyes are kind of getting older now. But I ended up reading a review, clicking on the check now at Amazon. It sent me to the Amazon page, and then a little sign came up. Are you sure you want to buy that here, or do you want us to transfer you to the same product on Smile.Amazon?
Yeah,
or Amazon Smile. So I'm kind of very grateful about that because I just donated another 10 cents to you, mate.
Exactly. Yeah, it works.
It sure does. How would you like to donate cash to the Gospel Revolution without ever putting your hand in your pocket? You would? Then here's how to do it. Go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. But instead of going to donations, go to Amazon Donations. Simply follow the instructions there and Amazon will then automatically donate 0.05% of everything you ever purchase from them again. Don't forget to change your browser bookmarks to take you to Amazon Smile instead of the regular Amazon page. From there on, you will become a regular financial contributor to the Gospel Revolution. It's just that easy. Now, Victor Brennan sent an email this week. Michael and Vic, as you know, is a great follower of the last days. He knows most about the last days and he loves the last days. And he sent me this link called worldslastchance.com. Worldslastchance.com. You know, I love these kind of sites because they don't ever give you, they don't tell you who they are, what church they're associated with. They just, you know, it's World's Last Chance, worldslastchance.com. These guys, he says, have taken out a full page in the local paper. If you go to their website.
Yeah, they're coming to Calgary, yeah.
Yeah. If you go to their website, it appears they are worldwide. Well, worldwide or not, someone needs to tell them that the world did have a last chance.
Yeah.
And it's taken place.
Yep.
And the second coming. I tell you what I'm going to do right now. I think I'll just play one of Java Joe's latest podcasts. It's only a 2-minute one, and it's called Macrophobia. Have a listen to this.
Well, hello. Welcome to Java Joe's place. I'm Java Joe. And let's see what's brewing at the pot. Well, today it looks like it's brewing a little macrophobia. What does that mean? Macrophobia means the fear of long waits. And Christianity has and causes macrophobia because it's been waiting 2,000 years for Christ to come back. However, Jesus returned when he rose from the dead like he promised in 33 AD. But Christianity doesn't teach this. They are living in fear. They've been living in fear now for the last 2,000 years. When's this Christ fella coming back? Christianity teaches Christ's return is delayed, yet it's impending. A contradiction in terms, folks. And that makes people anxious. Then Christianity capitalizes on it and reaps massive profits from the fear of Christ's impending return. Oh, mouthful. Love is the answer to macrophobia. Love displaces fear so the two can't coexist. Love is perfect and would never harm anyone for any reason, which makes love priceless and causes fear to bankrupt. There's no place for love and fear together. Y'all can live with confidence knowing that Jesus returned like he promised. Because Jesus lives forever, it means that humanity does too. And that's regardless of belief. And that's good news we all need, especially Christians. Y'all have a nice day. I'm Java Joe.
And then Vic goes on to say, last days, folks, hold on to your hats. The world wind is coming. The world wind is coming. I tell you what, it's wind, but I don't know what kind. I don't know.
Yes, thank you, Sean. As we predicted, your little clips are as good as we thought and getting better. Thank you so very much. These things are priceless. They literally are priceless. And Sean puts a lot of effort into this, and we are the recipients of his efforts, his love, his labor, his participation, and we support him 100% in what he's doing.
Don't forget mental madness, his mental madness.
Yes. One of our greatest assets is his mental madness, for sure. And Vic, thank you so much for notifying us once again that a meeting is taking place, letting everybody know that the end is imminently nearer than you think.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your dining and listening pleasure, live from high atop the Manhattan Towers, we proudly present the heart-stirring sounds of Dan Amos and the Maranatha Mood Makers.
I guess you aren't expecting no resurrection too soon. World doom, that story's got to be bunk about that trumpet tune. She's on the moon, but won't your peepers get the creepers when you realize it's all happening before your eyes? Oh my, you'll cry as we wave goodbye to you. Oh my, you'll fly as we rise in the sky. Oh my, you'll fly as we rise in the sky. Oh my, you'll fly as we rise in the sky with you.
You know, the funny thing about all this, Vic, is we were raised to believe Revelations 1:1 was true. That Revelations was about things which must soon come to pass. Must soon come to pass. Now, Mike, in whose book is 2,000 years of waiting, of macrophobia? In whose book is 2,000 years of macrophobia soon?
Well, and here's the weird thing on our parts is that when they read soon, it meant soon, like from right now. We didn't even consider this thing was written 2,000 years ago, thereabouts. I mean, my goodness. So, you know, they got us all cranked up about soon. Therefore, it cannot be past our lifetimes. But we were not informed that this was 51 generations ago that this was even written. So, so what are we going to be? The 52nd generation that goes through this phobia and this madness about the end of the world? 51 generations have come and gone. And I swear, I just refuse to be a part and parcel of another deceived and ridiculously misguided generation. I'm not a part of it.
I remember 40 years ago, a man I respected a lot and still respect, a very good man, a Christian teacher, and he was a nuclear physicist. And he said, as he was leaving Australia to go back to the States, he said, it wouldn't surprise me, Don, if Jesus was to return in the next 10 years. It just seems that things are getting that way. Well, that was 40 years ago.
Yep.
10 years passed, nothing. The next 10 years passed, nothing. The next 10 years passed, nothing. And my friend, the next 10 years are going to pass for you.
Yep.
And I want to tell you definitively that what Java Joe just said, Jesus did return when he arose from the grave. He did return. It's happened. Don't you spend your life full of angst, full of anxiety, full of wondering like I did when I was a kid, waiting for Jesus to return, knowing that I wasn't ready. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Well, I remember that angst
don't do
also.
It. Don't do it. Be
Don,
free.
And the desperation
it is
of
for freedom,
trying to
so free.
Get ready to make sure my lamp was full, even though I didn't own a lamp. I refused to answer personal questions.
Yeah, and were you a virgin? Remember, I know the story. It's 10 virgins.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, back then we were taught once you went up in the altar call, you were a virgin all over again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, isn't that the truth? But, folks, are you glad to be free?
Oh my God. That's a stretch.
If we're going to have a hallelujah breakdown, just about one single concept, which is a fractal of the entire picture. Think of it, folks. You haven't thought about the end of the world in 25 years for most of you. And then there's those that have just come on board that hadn't thought about it. Have gotten this garbage out of your head and it's gone. It might as well have been gone for the first 51 generations. What did it benefit 51 generations to think that the end of the world was coming? What did it benefit them? The only difference between you and the 51 generations who thought it was the end of the world and they never saw it is that you know it's not coming and they didn't.
Well, for most of those 51 generations, no one even believed in it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's only the recent advent of Protestantism and even more, following the Jesuits' teaching of futurism and then the rapture.
Yeah.
The whole thing that started only 150 years ago. It fails me. Mate, let's move on to something which actually does make sense, shall we?
My name is Jody Lease from Elmira, Ontario, Canada. I've been listening to you guys since January when I found Mike on the Homebrewed Christianity podcast. I saw the title of the episode called The Gospel According to Mike, and I thought, who does this guy think he is? Probably just another emergent guy with lots of over-the-top theology with no substance. Well, that was not the case. You had me when Mike... You asked the question, was Jesus not better sacrifice than a bull or a goat? A bull lasted a year for a nation. Jesus should be better, right? You had me. And you wrecked me. I ordered your book right away. Then I read it in 2 weeks, which is amazing because I'm not a reader. Then I passed it off to my father, all the while rereading Romans to see if what you are saying is possible. Well, I had always seen Romans as a judging book, Paul's hammer on us all. I don't see it like that anymore. I see grace. Thanks. Jesus is so much better now, and religion is so much worse. I used to call myself a Christian, and then I called myself a messianic Gentile just to mess with people, and now I call myself free. Thanks for the book. Thanks for the podcast. And thanks for the YouTube videos, Jeff. Thanks for wrecking me. Bye-bye.
Can I get an amen?
And I'll tell you, somebody who makes a heck of a lot of sense is our good friend, Phil Britton.
Oh, yes.
Now, Phil Britton became a new friend of ours not that long ago, in the last year, and he wrote this. This week he said, some time ago, I remember you and Mike discussing how God doesn't have a plan for anybody's life. What a shock for Mike's audience to hear this glaring gospel truth for the first time. Can we add forgiveness to a list of shocking gospel truths? You bet we can. God doesn't forgive. God can't forgive. In spite of what Christian authorities teach, no one has been forgiven since the cross. Mm. No one can receive forgiveness by asking for it. It's an empty, vain, self-righteous pursuit. Forgiveness implies the continued existence of guilt and shame linked to a perceived offense, all of which were abolished at the cross.
Yeah.
Christian leaders turn up the volume on their fraudulent teaching as they preach, confess your sins and receive, confess your sins and receive forgiveness today. All the while, I had to do that, Mike. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better when you go to Kentucky either, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Oh, dear. All the while demonstrating a flat-out denial of sin's payment in full and subsequent total removal once and for all at the cross. Phil Britton. Phil, I got nothing to say, mate. You said it all.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm ready for the trial to begin of defamation of character of Jesus Christ by Christianity. I've had that on my mind now for at least a decade. And I think there's several trials that we could do. Misrepresentation, you know, false advertising.
Don't forget bait and switch.
We could go all the way through the rule book, you know, murder of what? Murder of the truth. adultery of what? Mixing law and grace. Man, we could go through everything in the statute books, and I guarantee you Christianity will be guilty of it in spades. And we could have a reasonable, rational jury trial, and Christianity would be convicted on all counts.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, mate, even if they admitted the guilt, then they'd ask for forgiveness. Oh, hey, listen, if you liked what Phil just said, guys, go and get his book. It's free.
Yeah.
It's free. The Greatest Gospel Truth. This is a simple, powerful expose of how religion has thoroughly corrupted the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, and how you can distinguish the truth from the lies. It's free. Can I say that again? It's free. Don't miss out. Just go to www.greatestgospeltruth.com and download it right now. Phil Britton, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Phil. I think Phil's been around a little bit longer, quite a bit longer, actually, than a year. But he just resurfaces on us often, and we are always glad to hear from him. I think it'd be wonderful just to know his story in coming to understand the gospel. It is shocking for people to hear that God has no plan for their life. In fact, that is the plan. The plan is that God has no plan. That was the plan all the way from before the foundation of the world. And I remembered, it's been within shot of 10 years anyway, when I taught this in Calgary, Alberta. And I did as Jim accused me of dropping bombs on people.
Dr. Jim.
Dr. Jim.
And if you're wondering who we're talking about, just go to drjamesrichards.com or jimrichards.org.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, my heart just felt so very strong about this. And so we gathered everybody together in the room. We prepared for the teaching. Everybody settled in, settled down. We said a couple of things. And then I asked them to open their Bibles. And I said, I have one brief comment as we began this teaching. And that is this: God has no plan for your life. And there was kind of wow, I think he means it. You know,
God, what a bubble to burst.
God has no purpose and no plan for your life. Now, if you want a purpose, you better start purposing what your life is going to mean, or it's not going to have one. You didn't come with this predetermined purpose or this predetermined plan. You may be well gifted to accomplish many purposes or to make many plans, but nothing has been predestined for you. The entire issue of predestination was completely fulfilled in Christ. That predestination started long before God created this planet that we live on, for sure. And that predestination was to result in total freedom, and total freedom for you, and yes, even for God. God has been freed from the confines of heaven. I bet you've never heard that statement before on planet Earth anywhere. God has been freed from the confines of heaven and now dwells in every human being on the face of planet Earth. It's very powerful to understand that creation was not completed until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That what God did with Adam and Eve in the garden was all a part of creation, but was not the completion of creation. But we do have it now, and there's nothing left undone.
And if you want to know more about that, go to drjamesrichards.com, or you can go to jimrichards.org, and you'll find out a whole lot more about this.
You may be wondering what's going on. You heard what Michael said, is that right or wrong? Don't be shy now, pick up the phone, call. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the gospel revolution. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the gospel revolution. Could this be madness? What did you hear? What you heard might not be perfectly clear. Take a stand now, we'll be right here. Call questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the gospel revolution. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the gospel revolution.
This week I also heard from Robert Orr. Robert Orr's a fun guy, and he sent me some shots of coffee mugs for seniors. Now, you see this coffee mug I got here?
I do see that.
It's that takes two of my old coffee mugs.
Yeah.
That takes 60 ounces.
60?
Coffee. 60.
Oh, my gosh.
What am I doing out of bed?
If so, you just drank that, you can't be anything but out of bed.
I tell you what, mate. Yeah. I mean, even if it's only just to get rid of the liquid. And a couple of these, I won't read you them all because there's a whole bunch of them. One says, I never use my turn signal. It's nobody's business where I'm freaking going. And another one says, these are mugs that are printed up and they're funny as. When I get a headache, I take an aspirin and keep away from children, just like it says on the bottle. Robert, thanks, mate, for giving us a laugh. Appreciate that a whole bunch. You're a lot of fun to have around, and more than that, you're a lot of inspiration to have around. Then we heard from Robert W. Vacanti, not just any Robert. Not just any Vicanti, but Robert W. Mm-hmm. Vicanti. And he says, I want to email a bunch of my friends the GR website. So the question to all you, I think he's trying to be Southern, but he just doesn't put all the words in. The question to all y'all is this. What videos or teachings would you send? These are ex-church people, seedy, lowly and disgusting. Oh, you got friends in low places. I love that, Robert. A sorry lot they are, but the GR ministry can help them love themselves. So it's worth a shot. I prefer something short that is typical Mike Williams, shocking, but with a simple positive message, like something from the predestination teachings maybe. The power casts are great for us, but they may not listen to 80 minutes of something. Tough call for me, so any suggestions are welcomed. The good news here is that they all still want to believe, but have been to church before, and then it's cut off. I think he means that they've been all burned by church, and then they want to believe, but church has cured them of that problem partially.
Yeah, that's amazing, Don, because the experience of going to church, and I put in air quotes, they convince you of your need for them, and they are the ones who convince you that you will not survive if you stay.
Yep. It's like the cure. What is it? The cure is worse than the disease?
Yeah, exactly.
And if the disease is, hey, I need social company, I want to gather around people who make me feel good. Ugh. The cure is worse than the disease, family. Stay exactly. away. Well, yeah. I'm gonna say this. We are in the middle of revamping the website, and if you go to www.gospelrevolution.com, go to resources, click on resources, click on videos, click on series, video series, and I will be having up there in the next week those three great series that Mike just did. I think. You're on the money, Robert. People will listen to the podcast. There are podcasts around that go for 3 hours, and they have plenty of followers, and they run a pledge drive, and they run on a pledge drive. Two gentlemen I'm thinking of on one particular podcast, they go for anything up to 3 hours, and people listen to the whole thing 3 hours. Now, the reason is because it's interesting. They discovered a few years ago, they decided that 90 minutes was about the going rate for a movie that you could keep people's attention for. But again, you've got to be interested in what you're looking at. People who listen to these three-hour podcasts are listening to something they're interested in. People who produce these podcasts are making not only a living, but a really, really good living out of them. So we know they work. Now, Michael and I have had discussions about the length of podcasts, and we have traditionally tried to keep everything down to an hour. The reason that they go over an hour is because, firstly, I'm at fault, because I tell Michael about these things, and I say, Mike, I think you're wrong. And Michael says, yes, but you don't run this ministry, do you? And I say, I don't care. You can fire me anytime you like. No, it's something like that, the conversations that take place. But the fact of the matter is that when people hear that bell that can't be unrung, then they're ready for maybe the podcast. But in the short term, Rob, you are right on the money. Go take them to those videos. And when our app comes out, Nardos Kabidi has just released an app. It's not in the general app store yet, but it will be, and we're not releasing it until at least the Calgary conference, which is coming up March 2, 3, and 4. But mate, just give them those videos. They are so full of little bombs that Mike so loves to drop on people. There are bombs, there are bells that can't be unrung, and most of all, there are statements that cannot be questioned, because what Mike does is takes people through in context, reading Bible verses that they've read all their lives and seen a different way, and suddenly they'll see them for what they are. I'd go to those videos and start folks there.
Well, those, and we also have even shorter videos, one being Sean Smith and the other one Jeff Robertson. And, man, you could go through some of Jeff's videos and pick something out that that you know is exactly where those people are, or Sean's. I tell you, everything I've heard of Sean's so far, I would play for any Christian, anywhere, any religion, any place. And so just because they're not hearing my voice does not mean they're not hearing the gospel. because we've got some great gospel teachers out there.
And that's how we like it.
Yeah, exactly.
We want there to be lots and lots of voices.
Exactly. Now, I had done this quite alone for an awful lot of years. And then I sat down in a restaurant with a man by the name of Wade Brewer, who was a Pentecostal pastor, who had told me that he had just had a failure in his life, which just pierced me to the core to hear and see the downcast on this man's face. And that he was a pastor of a United Pentecostal church. They were calling for his resignation and all of this stuff. And he asked me what I thought he should do. And and he recounts this. I really don't remember it. But he says that I told him, just keep walking. Don't miss a beat. And he said it changed his entire life. Well, later on, I had that same man to get up and share the gospel that he had learned. This was a couple of years later or more. And Wade Brewer stood up and started sharing the gospel. And I remember the feeling that I got then at that time, Don. And it was that my greatest joy is hearing the gospel. And I also realized for the first time that I wasn't alone. And the joy, I got to feel what it feels like to be somebody sitting in the seat hearing the gospel.
How precious.
The first time in my life, Don. And I was sitting there and I so distinctly remembering bargaining that, my goodness, I please let there be more. Let there be so many that I never have to stand up and speak again. Let me sit and listen for the rest of my life. And since that time, which has been umpteen years ago, my request has gone completely answered. We have so many people sharing the gospel now. It really is amazing. One of the things that's on the app that you guys are going to enjoy is De La Moya song, Whatever Happened to Love. And it's so well done. It's professionally done. It's a great video. And her quotes from my teachings. We had no clue that this was even out there. But made contact to verify whether or not that this was somebody who had been listening to the gospel. This song is so powerful. You need to be playing it. Play it often. I play it often, Don. I have this app. Everyone else does not. It will be available in the App Store eventually, and that will be by the time we get to Calgary. And but one of the things that's on there, just by clicking on the app, is the song by De La Moya, Whatever Happened to Love. And you're going to hear the gospel in that. You could give this song. You can give this song, referring to our last inquiry. You can pass this song along to somebody else. It's filled with the gospel. Line by line, it is just so amazing. And there's one thing with music that I like. There's, you know, many times you can say something to people and it becomes a mental challenge to them. All of these mental debates begin to come up in their minds. If you sing the same thing to them, it seems to bypass their brain and just go right. It's like a sneak attack. I mean, it really is. And I love it. If I could sing, I tell you what, I'd be singing. I'd be figuring out every way in the world I could sing the gospel. Because if you can sing the gospel, if you've got these words in lyric and in rhyme and in poem and in any other way, those are the most acceptable. Why are they more acceptable than just words? They're more acceptable because the gospel is a heart issue. It is already in the heart. The brain, the mind, has been trained to think opposite to the gospel. I don't care how badly trained the mind is in religion. The heart is still astute to the gospel. If the heart hears music, it responds. And sometimes we can't get past the brain with the words. So just a lot of things for you to be excited about this new app. And again, use this song by De La Moya. It's wonderful.
That app's going to be showcased in our upcoming conference in Calgary, Alberta, where you're also going to hear the gentleman to whom Michael was just referring, Wade Brewer, the picture painter. What was that? Norman Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I remember the Saturday Evening Post, was it?
Yes.
And my grandfather in Australia would get the Saturday Evening Post with those beautiful Norman Rockwell etchings and paintings in them. Well, that's what Wade Brewer is. He is our gospel revolutionary pictorialist, we call him.
Yes, absolutely.
You'll hear, sorry?
Absolutely.
You will hear Nardos Kabidi, who is the designer of our new app. And last and probably least nowadays, I mean, it's getting to be that way, you will hear our wonderful president of the Gospel Revolution, Mike Williams. Listen, get yourself along to Calgary. If you're living in the northern states of the US, if you're living in the accompanying areas in to Alberta, get yourself down there. The Carriage House Inn is where it's going to be held. There'll be 3 days of intense teaching. Call the Carriage House Inn on 1-800-661-9566 and ask for the Grace Conference's special room rate. Or if you need any more information, contact James McDermott on 403-828-1884. That is 403-828-1884. Come early. Come often. Seating is limited. And here is a special surprise, none other than our Vice President from Calgary, Alberta, Nardos Kabidi. G'day, Nardos. How are you, mate?
I am doing well, Don. How are you?
I'm well, but I'm a bit disappointed because I'm not going to see you up in Calgary.
Yeah, me too. I was hoping I would see you and have a good time, but we'll do it next time.
Tell us, what's happening up there, mate?
Well, our 2018 Grace Conference is coming up very soon, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Carriage House Inn. The conference title would be The Logic and Common Sense of the Gospels. We're inviting everybody to come out to our meeting, but for those of you who cannot attend, we have an exciting, exciting good news for you. Friends of Mike Williams' ministry Facebook, we're going to be broadcasting it live so that every bit of the conference, anyone can watch it from anywhere as it is happening. So I want you to stay tuned because we're going to be sending you a notification maybe half an hour before the conference starts. And then we're going to come in live. And what we ask you to do is to share it and to invite friends so that they can also enjoy the conference in the comfort of their home. The time and dates going to be Friday night, March 2nd, is going to start at 7 p.m. And around 6:30, we're going to be sending you notification before the service starts. Saturday, March 3rd, we have three services. It's going to start at 10 a.m. and then 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. We'll do the same thing. We'll send a notification to everybody, and you'll get to watch it. And Sunday, March 4th, it's going to be, I believe, two service, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be, the first one would be 9:30 a.m., and then the second one would be 1 p.m. And if there is another service for Sunday, it would be 7 p.m. So we'll send you all the notifications so that you'll get to watch it, like I said, from the comfort of your home. And please invite somebody and share the video so that everyone can get to see the conference. The Carriage House Inn, the address is 9030 McLeod Trail South, Calgary, Alberta. And if you're looking for a restaurant around, there's lots of restaurants. There's about two fine restaurants in Carriage House Inn. And also around the neighborhood, there's lots of sushi bar and restaurants. Also, there is a grocery store, a co-op grocery store, Safeway, I believe, as well. So that is very, very convenient place. And may I add, with Walmart and walking distance as well. Our main speaker would be the president of Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministry. And we have a special guest, Whit Brewer. He'll be speaking Friday night. And Saturday afternoon, I will be sharing as well. And may I add that during the conference and live video, we will be advertising something special for you. And I'll have that special announcement from our president.
So there we have it. I got the picture now already of people all the way around the world, and there's five or six in a little hive, and they're gathered around their laptop, much the same as in the old days. Five or six people might gather around a radio to listen to a football game or a baseball game. There you have it, family. It's too good to miss. You don't have any reason to miss it now. If you are there, there will be a bonus. You'll get time alone with Mike Williams, with Nardos Kabidi, and with Wade Brewer. And let me tell you, you're going to want to have that time. I promise you. Once you start digging amongst these mines, you're going to find a couple of mother loads of gold that you just want to keep following up. But if you can't make it personally, don't forget, we are streaming this live for the very first time ever, and we're excited as all get out. Thank you, Nardos.
Thank you, Don. Thanks for having me.
So, Robert Vicandi, thanks so much for your email. And yes, we would both recommend that you you start in on some of the short stuff.
It's my play, it's my play, it's my play, and my soul. Best singing and laughing since Jesus. Folks don't understand it. Nor can I keep it quiet, but it's bubbling, 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 bubbling. Here we go!
This week, Michael, we heard from a fellow called Gary Ellis. I don't know Gary, don't know who Gary is, but he obviously knows us, and he says this: I was once a part of the Word Faith movement, but no longer am, simply because I have seen far too much inaccuracy with the Word. And I agree joyfully with many things that Mike teaches. However, I would like to take issue with some of the hyperbole, saying that Andrew Womack, etc., never admitting any failures. That simply is not true, and therefore weakens an argument when points are overstated. I have heard with my own ears some of the leading faith teachers admit their failures. State truth, but please watch the hyperbole. There is no need for it. Mike, I have got a lot of words to say about this, but I believe that you should have the first shot at this one.
Well, the things that I am aware of, Andrew Womack is not honest about. The things that I know of, Kenneth Copeland is not honest about. If you're talking about failures from before they were totally immersed in faith doctrine, yes, I've heard that too. But we're talking about failures that what they teach doesn't work. They have never, and we will restate that, that's not hyperbole. They've never admitted that what they teach does not work. And that's what I was referring to. I'll let Don speak for himself. And again, they have never admitted that this does not work for somebody. Just like with Gloria Copeland that we mentioned last week, saying to a woman that there's no way her doctrine was wrong. That's what, in essence, she was saying, that the woman had a faith failure. That's why her baby died. They so do not admit failure pertaining to their doctrines. They so do not admit it that they are willing to cut like a knife into the heart of a mother who has just lost a child standing there weeping. And this is not a unconfirmed story. It is an old story that I do know for sure. I remember when it happened. But again, no, they never admit any failure to anything that they teach or have ever taught. They simply up the ante every time. If anything, they up the ante instead of admitting. They, like anyone, will say they've got weaknesses or that they've got faults or something like that. But we are talking specifically about what they say about what they teach. They do not admit they've gone to the doctor. They do not admit that they've had surgeries. They do not admit that they've had divorces in the family, and they play it down at least as much as possible. They do not talk about people in their ministry who have died, who have been even part of their board of directors or whatever. They just simply don't do it, and there's a reason they don't do it. I do agree, though, that hyperbole is unnecessary when presenting the truth. There is a part of what we are trying to point out to people with this truth is the error of and in our case, especially of the Word of Faith movement. And as I started calling it many years ago, the Word of Fake movement. These people are fake. They are phony as they can be. And I think that I think not that they deserve it. We're not exacting punishment on them, but people deserve to hear the truth about these people who present these doctrines as absolute fact that work, quote, all the time. They don't work all the time. In fact, they never work. So, but we will, we always are looking out for the encouragement to say this better, to do it better. And I will certainly watch any hyperbole that is unnecessary in trying to talk about situations or people. It's a good instruction.
Well, Gary, thanks for this letter. Let's have a look what the dictionary calls hyperbole. And I'm reading from, where am I reading from? Dictionary.com.
Oh, no, you're not dependent on a dictionary, are you?
Well, I'm not, but you know, a lot of the people listening to this program, maybe.
I know.
We do have a lower class of person, you know.
We can't come up with our own definition.
Oh, dear. Okay, dictionary.com says that hyperbole is exaggerated statements or claims not meant to be taken literally. Now, let me say that when I say these things, this is not hyperbole according to the definition of hyperbole, not meant to be taken literally. Not meant to be taken literally. Preflo Dollar would say that when he was arrested for child abuse of his own daughter, felony assault, I think it was, that should not be taken literally. He would say that. He would say that when he put out a GoFundMe, not a GoFundMe, a demand on his followers to raise $7.5 million for a personal jet, that should not be taken literally. When the Copelands were responsible for the first, not pandemic, but epidemic of measles in Texas in 50 years, by telling their people not to have injections against measles, that should not be taken literally. Is that hyperbole? That is factual.
Mm-hmm.
That's not hyperbole. When Benny Hinn leaves his wife for another leading female preacher and then runs back to his wife, that is not hyperbole. That is fact. When I say that faith healing has a smaller chance of success than a good, well-informed, well-intentioned doctor or surgery has, that is not hyperbole. That is a fact. And if it must be known why we indulge ourselves in hyperbole, if that is indeed hyperbole, the reason we do it is because these people are doing it in the name of Jesus, and there is no lower There is no lower, more contemptible action that I can imagine than that. Or maybe you remember Todd Bentley, who had that great outpouring of miracles at Lakeland, who had 13 resurrections in his meetings, none of which could be confirmed when the media went there. But he ended up doing the horizontal folk dance with his secretary, left his wife, went into some kind of spiritual rehabilitation with Morningstar Ministries, Rick Joyner, and I saw him on a platform being inducted into apostleship with so many of the Word Faith leaders. And after that, he does this indiscretion, and now he's left, he's divorced his wife now that he's been rehabilitated spiritually. Yeah, that is not hyperbole. That is fact. These are things that what I am saying are things which, if taken in a court of law, would convict somebody. It's not hyperbole. I understand that we tend to state things very frankly, very forthrightly, and pretty abruptly. I know that. I know that we say things which could be presumed to be hyperbole. But, Michael, let me ask you, by what right have you got to discuss anything about Andrew Womack?
Well, Andrew Womack is at one time a personal friend. I mean, somebody I could call on the phone and speak with. I invited him to speak in my conference in Atlanta, I think on two occasions. He invited me to come and speak at his Bible college, as I found out later, for nefarious purposes, not by anything of a genuine invitation. That backfired on him. Never heard Andrew Womack talk about his two sons abducting he and his wife and locking them in a closet along with his friends and robbing their own parents. You never hear anything about that. I hope the boys have had a change of ways and change of heart. But these are the things we're talking about. These guys do not admit this stuff because it totally contradicts what they call faith, holiness. They're just not going to do it unless they get caught. I'm sorry, folks. This is just wrong stuff.
Mike, why is that not hyperbole?
Because it's the truth.
And now the dictionary says that hyperbole is exaggerated statements or claims not meant to be taken literally. And you're saying these are literal facts.
These are literal facts. There's not an ounce of exaggeration in anything that I have reported to you on this. Now, I guarantee you that these folks have had any and all of these stories wiped out off the internet. They pay big bucks to make sure that these things are taken care of. And unless somebody really is intent about keeping them before the public eye, they're going to be gone. That's all there is to it. And we also appreciate the encouragement about the truth that you are hearing. And we hope that you'll keep listening. We always enjoy knowing that people are being enlivened by the gospel. And we hope you don't have to work around our comments too much to be able to get to the truth. But that's pretty much just the way it is. I think people should know what the people who claim to have moral high ground actually do and say, and what they actually don't do and don't say.
In short, Gary, well, I know I'm defending us. And sometimes you can't defend yourselves. I want to make it perfectly clear that when people are doing things, teaching things, claiming things which are untrue, that unlike the Christian community who says, oh, love covers a multitude of sins, now, that may be a verse from the Bible. That may be true. But not while those misdeeds are still occurring. If those misdeeds keep occurring, we, by saying nothing, are at least as culpable as the perpetrators.
And these are misdeeds based on their own set standards, not even ours. So
that's a good point, Mike. And as I said earlier, these people are doing this in the name of Jesus. Hindus aren't doing that. Buddhists aren't doing that. Christians are doing that. And the ones who are doing it the most are the ones who stand to gain the most by way of donations.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Gary, for the email. We do appreciate it, buddy.
In Friends of Mike Williams this week, Marcel Rose made a really interesting comment.
Uh-oh.
Yep. The troublemaker is at it again. And family, it's the same Marcel Rose as this.
Hi, I am Marcel Rose, coming to you from Bouwsen in Holland, where I maintain the Gospel Revolution radio service. If you need a fast injection of the Gospel CPR, that is the consistent, persistent, and repetitive joy of the Gospel, then tune in to the Gospel Revolution Radio, playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To listen, go to gospelrevolution.com, and under audio, at the top of the page, simply click on GR Radio 24/7.
And so Marcel Rose says he's got a fortune cookie, and in the fortune cookie it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And, of course, that comes from Jeremiah 29. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Marcel Rose made this comment, which I thought was very insightful. He said this, "This is how Christians treat the verses of the Bible. But this verse is for Israel then and there. The verse before that says, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word for you."
Oh, wow.
"To bring you back to this place. Then it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, etc." God is going to bring the people out of Babylon. So the Bible is not about you, but for you.
Oh, Marcel. Well, this is wonderful. These are things that people who get involved in the gospel, these things appear to them out of nowhere. You read through something that you've heard all of your Christian life that's been quoted for generations, and suddenly context becomes very, very valuable. Don, this is the heartbeat of the teaching of God's plans and purposes for your life. This really is quite amazing, even as we were speaking about. So goodness, it seems as though that this PowerCast is kind of treading toward us going into some detail about this issue, about, what's God's plan? Does God have a purpose, a plan for you? We've already covered one. Now, here's another one right here. But this is fascinating. This verse is quoted all the time. "For I know the," read it exactly how the verse out of context says it. Read that again.
Out of context, did you say? Read it out of context?
Read it out of context, yes, because that's the way it's always quoted.
This is very difficult. You're starting to...
I have to teach people how to read out of context now. They don't even know how anymore.
Okay, out of context, the verse says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
Wow, an expected end. Do you have your Hebrew up there to see? I'd like to see what the term expected means. Anything more than just expected. If it just means expected, that's great. But maybe it means more, maybe it means less in the Hebrew. Let's see what it got.
Well, it literally means a cord, or something which is attached, an attachment. James Strong suggests that it can be extrapolated to mean hope, a thing that I long for, etc. But the root word is a cord or an attachment.
So in context, then it would be, I know your beginnings and your end, the attachment from the first to the end, right?
Well, the attachment has got to be attached, I suppose, to something, and mm-hmm. it would be attached in this verse to thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Yeah. The word is aptly translated there, it seems. Now, you mentioned the verse before. Now, we apply that to everyone, which, now, remember, Jesus said all of these verses were about him anyway. Anything that's about Israel is about Jesus also, because Jesus is Israel. Anything that's about the temple is about Jesus. Anything about the sacrifices are about Jesus. We can point out some things, but the fact of it is, all of the scriptures are about Jesus. Whether or not we are able to see them or not, we're still waiting to see in many cases.
Well, a wise person said to me once this, if you're reading a page out of the Old Testament that and you don't understand what it's about, just try seeing Jesus on that page,
mm-hmm.
and that might unlock some thoughts for you.
Oh, absolutely. How many times has that happened for us in the Gospel of Revelation? Over and over and over again it has. Even for the best Bible researchers, these things just jump up and grab us just occasionally, and they are wonderful.
Well, almost every story in the Old Testament, it can be taken in several ways. Mm-hmm. It has a primary meaning, it has a historical meaning, it has a futuristic meaning, it has a secondary meaning. And so when Jesus said, they're all about me, what he's saying is the story of Joseph is about him.
Yes.
The story of Samson is about him. The mm-hmm. story of Daniel is about him.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of thoughts of peace towards you and not of evil is about him. Yeah. Let me read you the previous verse.
Let's go there. I love that.
For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Now, I was taught that this verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, was for me.
Exactly.
But if that's for me.
I've taught it that way, Barris.
We both did. But if that's mm-hmm. for us, now, where's our 70 years? Does that mean I'm going to live for 70 years?
Yeah.
I mean, what on earth has that got to do with me?
Yeah, or maybe it's 70 years from right now. We just read it, so.
Oh, I saw your email this week. What was it? Some idiot said.
I'm trying to remember. That thought came to me.
I think he said the last half of your life is going to be better than the first.
Oh, yes.
What was that? Who said that?
Oh, yeah.
Who was it to?
No, this was. It was Rod Parsley.
Oh no. Okay. And what did Rod say about you?
Rod said directly to me on TV and everybody else that he had a word from God and that God told him to tell everybody that the second half of their life is going to be better than the first.
Oh, you lucky bugger.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't hear it at 20. That would have only
yeah.
meant... My goodness, a 20-year-old is not going to be as impressed as I am. A 20-year-old knows that the next 20 years are going to be great. Guess what? I know that the next 65 years of my life on Earth are going to be better than the first 65.
There's the 120 years that the Bible talks about. You know, long life can come with its benefits. My great-grandfather, his biggest wish in life was to be convicted of rape at age 97. That's right. But it seems like you've got every option of actually achieving that.
Oh my goodness. Donald. But yeah, so the context of this is very clear. This isn't about you, it's about Israel, therefore it's about Jesus. And goodness, this life that was pre-planned, predestined, every word. And Jesus confirmed it. Jesus confirmed it by saying that he never spoke one word that was not the words that his Father gave him. So, yeah, every word, every thought, there's never been a life pre-planned like the life of Christ.
Do you mean God had a plan for his life?
God had a plan for Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Did he ever?
Did he take him through the Romans Road?
No, he did not take him through the Romans Road. That's for sure. Because the Romans Road is only a possibility, and that's not a pre-planned thing at all. So,
family, if you don't get that, don't worry.
Yeah, please don't worry. You don't need it. Yeah, thank God you don't need it if you don't know what the Romans Row is.
It's almost as bad as a trail of blood. You know, that wonderful little Baptist publication about how they are the original real church.
Oh, dear. Oh my goodness.
So here we are. And all of those verses in Psalms, you know, Psalm this and Psalm that we took, Psalm 23.
Yeah,
I won't fear, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 91, your angels camp me about, and I won't fear the dragon or the lion or blah, blah, blah. And all of those things, we used to use them about ourselves because we had wonderful, great faith. Not.
Yeah, and, you know, ironically, I just this past week got an email from a dear friend of mine. There was no implication as to what he thought about this one way or the other. He just kind of copied and pasted and sent this to me, and I really appreciated it. And as I read through it, I realized that I'm reading something that most people think is about us.
Oh, what was that?
Well, it's Psalms 139.
Oh, get out of here. The song's written about that Psalms. There's all kinds of good stuff written. That's about us. I mean, well, it's about David, really.
Well, now you're forcing me to say that we're going to have to go read it now. You do know that, right?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to pull that. You're not going to pull that read stunt on me again, are you?
Yeah, that context crap. All right, Donald, I think it's time for you to read.
Oh, boy. Okay, Psalm 139. To the chief musician. See, that ain't Jesus. I don't think you're right. A psalm of David. That ain't Jesus. Oh, Lord. You have searched me and known me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You compass my path and my lying down. You surround my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but look, Lord, you know it altogether.
And Jesus said that, as we just referred to.
Whereabouts?
In the Gospels, where Jesus said that he never spoke one word that was not the words that his Father would speak.
You have surrounded me behind and ahead and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there.
Now, let's stop right there. Who's this about? You know, is first off, remember, Paul said there's only one who could go into heaven, and that's he that came from heaven. So this, we are affirming throughout this cannot be about any individual except Christ himself. There's only one that's been talked about ascending up into heaven. He said, if I make my bed in hell. Now, Don, remind us, what is this word?
That word is Sheol.
Sheol.
Sheol is the grave, and the odd thing in the Old Testament, particularly in the King James, is all of the good people, translated into English, this is, all of the good people went to Sheol, but all the bad people went to hell. Isn't that odd? The same word in the Hebrew, but this is the same word as the Greek Hades,
yeah,
which simply means the grave.
Yeah, there's this connotation of hell is so flagrantly imposed over this. And of course, then we have people then teaching. It is so much about Jesus that we had people teaching from the cross to the throne about how Jesus went to this fiery burning place called hell and confronted the devil and defeated him, took the keys to hell. I don't know what he wanted the keys for. I mean, is he locking people in, locking people out? I mean, what did he want the keys for? Did he want a vacation there? Who knows? But this obviously, again, is talking about Jesus and Jesus himself only. Jesus went into the grave and he said that God was there. The Father was there with him, even in the grave. Read on.
If I take the wings of the morning and live in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand shall hold me.
It seems as though that there's a statement that even the I think the devil quoted this verse about Jesus, didn't he?
Well, what he quoted was the scriptures that said that the scripture says that if you stumble, the angels will catch you.
Yeah.
So, yep, he's as good as quoting
and
this verse.
And will uphold you, yeah. So, yes, and then go on, read verse 11. Let's see if this can possibly be about us.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me. So if I try to hide in the dark.
Yeah, it turns to light automatically just because you're there.
Isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
The darkness doesn't hide from you, but the night shines as the day.
Wow.
The darkness and the light are both alike to you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, Jesus said in John chapter 3, up around verse 20, that this is a in verse 19, sorry, this is a condemnation. Now, you ask the average person, you know, John 3:16, yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, now, what's the next verse say? And you ask them to read, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. This, and then in verse 90, he says what the condemnation is. Now, the average person's going to say, what is the condemnation? They're going to say, it's hell. Oh, it's that fire where the worm dieth not and your pain is forever. Quoting another Bible verse. The fact of the matter is, Jesus, looking down the corridors of time, knew that people were going to be that stupid and said, and this is the condemnation. And you can say to people, well, if Jesus said this is a condemnation, did he say hell? No, he said that you will live in darkness and you can't find your way out. Now, in Isaiah, I think it is, it says, and the people were in darkness, in fact, in gross darkness, it calls them. I think that's 144 darks. I'm not really sure, but you live in, and it says, but the light came.
Yeah.
And the light, of course, was Jesus.
And even Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Yeah. And then he said that you are the light of the world now.
How about that?
Read.
For you have possessed my reins.
That's your kidneys, right?
Yeah. Well, it kind of means, I think, your life force.
Yeah.
Some people say it's your mind. Some people say it's your life force. But, I mean, literally, it's your kidneys. And, in fact, that's exactly where we get the word renal.
Yes.
Or ren, which is a kidney in Latin. So, you have possessed my reins, my kidneys, my life force, my mind. You have covered me in my mother's womb. Now, that word covered means to fence in. You fenced me in.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've wound me up like a vine or entwined me, but you've fenced me in. Or another meaning of that word could be you've protected me. You remember we were saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and here he says, you protected me. In Psalm 91, the angels will camp around me to save me. You protected me, and you did that from my mother's womb. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully, that word means awesomely, really, and wonderfully, that word means peculiarly, especially, distinguishably. I will praise you, for I am awesomely
and distinguishably made.
Yeah, I'm different.
Yeah.
Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that right well. Now, let me ask you this, Mike. How many people do you reckon in the world come into the world and actually know that God's works are marvelous and that their soul knows right well?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
My substance was not hid from you.
And the word substance means?
Power.
Wow.
My power was not hid from you. In fact, you could read that if James Strong's has it right. My power was no secret from you.
Mm-hmm.
When I was made in secret. Now, my power was no secret from you when I was made in secret. Now, hang on. It doesn't take but a couple of months before there's no bloody secret anymore. Mary starts, she's a 14-year-old girl probably, and she starts to get put on, you know, pack on the pounds. And her mama says, you've been eating too much pie, girl. And she says, well, fact of the matter is, that's not pie. That is my baby.
Mm-hmm.
My power was no secret from you. Jesus talking. My power was no secret from you, God, Father, when I was made in secret. Now, when could Jesus have been made in secret?
So secret, it was before the foundations of the world. So that's a pretty good secret from everybody when it was done before anybody was ever placed on the earth.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's excellent. And I was, now this word curiously wrought. Have you ever seen a hibiscus that has the strains of blood going through a white flower? Yeah. That's what this word means. It means the same as a flower with multiple hues in it. In fact, James Strong says that it is to variegate color.
Wow.
To embroider. And it's more than just fabricate.
He is light, because light is color.
He's light. And oh, that's good. Yeah, and the rainbow is all spectrums of color. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. So you made me like that in the lowest parts of the earth. Or if you want, and I don't see why you couldn't translate that. All of this was done. My power was no secret from you when I was made in secret and fabricated in light. In the parts of the earth so low that it was before the earth even was built.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance. Now, that's the second time he's used the word substance, which we knew meant power. Yet being unperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when yet there was none of them.
Yeah, and you know, this goes along with Hebrews, which talks about, of course, we know that Jesus came here as the perfect Son of God, but he was not the perfect high priest. And Hebrews teaches us the fact that Jesus was made perfect. This also pointing out the reality of Christ in these verses.
How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great the sum of them.
Now, Don, hold on just one moment here. Is this saying, how precious are thy thoughts about me? Or your thoughts are so great that I know them? Does he know God's thoughts, or is he thought of by God?
Well, the first part of the verse seems to literally read, how rare are also the combination of all your ideas about me, O God.
Wow, that's really good.
How great is the sum of them?
Wow. Yeah, they are. And that's what we teach. We teach the sum of these thoughts. I don't know of anything that could tell you more of what we teach about the gospel than this. You know, he goes on to describe this, but the thing that we're going to have to also embrace that is that in the latter verses here, we don't need to go into them. But if these are about you, it goes on to say that God's going to destroy all your enemies. So if it's about me, do I need to get the list ready and let God know just who that is? does he already know who my enemies are, and he'll kill them even if I don't know who they are?
And, and in verse 21 says, I hate them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're supposed to love your enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. How do we...
Well, we're learning.
We are. We're learning to be consistent in the way that we view the gospel, in the way that we view the scriptures in particular today.
Exactly.
So, family, if you have scriptures you don't understand, number one, look for Jesus in them. And number two, and this is really important, be consistent. Don't be inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Be consistent. And so, family, it is that we must leave you. If you'd like to partner with us, and not just in money, call our office on
832-318-9339
and speak to us about how you want to participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else just like you were, but they are starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States number 123-456-40971. So now it's good night from myself, Don Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama.
And it is good night from Michael Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, where we are on a 5-day countdown to my flight out to Calgary, Alberta, and then starting up the following weekend with the meetings there. Everybody that can make it, put your wings on and get there. We're going to have a really wonderful time. Love you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Always better.
Gospel revolution.
Gospel revolution. Gospel revolution. Gospel revolution. Gospel revolution.